Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Is this the Swedish national anthem? Oh, I'm being told no. Just want to make sure we get it right on this show. No place to go. New theme from the Cochran Show. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. 6:11. Hi, it's Monday. That part you figured out. Show number 844. February 20th, date your check to the show accordingly. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. Before we get to the top six at six, how was your show yesterday with Patty Huskus?
A huge thanks to everybody who came out to the Rouse Center. We had a great crowd. Patty, myself, thanks to all the listeners. Dan Finnegan was out there, our friend, the former fire marshal.
Did he bring his dog?
He did not, but he said hello.
Hi, Dan.
Wonderful crowd. Everybody said hello to you and Dave and everybody on the program. Wonderful, wonderful show. So we had a great weekend.
You going to do more of those?
I think so. Yeah, we might do
it's
one
like
in the
Women
fall.
In Media, is that the thing?
Yeah, it's called it's the Rouse Center's Artful Women Series, and they have a whole series of these talks throughout the year, and they're great. I mean, they're very affordable, $10-$15. Get out there, have a cup of coffee, and listen to us yap and ask a few questions.
Was the main thing people talking about the weather of the weekend or the terrible attack on Sweden Friday night?
Sweden did not come up.
Oh,
but,
it didn't.
Okay. A lot of great feedback. And again, thanks to all our listeners, because a lot of great feedback, as I said, for you and for the show and for all of us and for the station as a whole.
So well, thank you for listening, everybody. Thanks for coming up. Dave, I was worried about you Saturday. I had you on the radio, and I had the TV on to watch, and I literally saw the last 5 minutes of the Northwestern game against the powerful Rutgers squad, and I thought I was seeing things. I, like, rubbed my eyes. I got, like, the cartoon, because when I turned it on to see Rutgers was ahead, it was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So am I right about this? Northwestern spotted them 20 up front. They started out 0-20.
Felt that way. Actually, Northwestern had a lead and let it get away and fell behind and then came back and won it at the end of the game. Rutgers, actually, the record's not good, but they've had a lot of games like that where they're much better than they've been. But, you know, that's a game that at home you're expected to win, and they won it. And all they need to do is get the win.
Very damaging. That loss would have been very
It would have
damaging.
Been a very bad loss for them.
Doug Collins.
Yes.
The legend, yeah. Chris Collins' father. Probably was about one missed free throw away from needing an EMT.
You know, he sits behind me, so I don't see him, but I did hear about his reaction.
The video's all over if you see the video. I mean, do you picture anybody that's watching their kid pitch Little League where they have to go outside because they can't take it anymore, get out of the stands, go outside in the parking lot, sit in their car? It was that kind of vibe.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's coaching or when he was playing.
But I don't remember him as a coach freaking out that way.
Well, I think you have to be thinking of your next move when you're coaching, but he was always intense. There was never a doubt about his intensity.
But he's rocking back and forth in the fetal position.
Yeah.
I was feeling for him. I was actually going to leave my Western White House in Naperville and come to the building and just give him a hug. He just looked like he needed a hug. And nobody hugged him.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet someone did afterwards.
And people, it's funny because people start inching away from him. The seats, there's not a lot of room in those seats. And, and people start inching away from him going, coach is losing it a little bit. But the good news is they won. Next game is?
Next game is tomorrow night in Champaign against the Fighting Illini.
That will be a great game.
That's going to be a good game.
Payback time.
Yeah, but Dave and I were just saying Illinois has won on the road against Northwestern and Iowa, but doesn't have a great road record or home record this season.
Well, their road record, their first road win was at Northwestern.
Yeah,
but now they won their second straight on the road on Saturday at Iowa. Their home record had been pretty good, but they got blown out in their last home game by Penn State. So that's going to be – I mean, there's definitely payback on the minds of Northwestern for this
game. But there's a lot of Illini basketball fans who are hoping that there's not too many wins here where a coach keeps his job.
Gross? Oh, yeah. Gross will probably be gone after this season.
I don't know. They keep winning. It's going to be harder to fire him.
I don't know.
I think it's going to take a lot of wins. But I also...
You think more wins than there are games left in the year?
Well, there are only four games left in the regular season.
And you think he's like an eight-win need for his job?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough. Depends who you beat and when you beat them. It's a significant game. There's no question. Look, Illinois would love to sweep the season from Northwestern, given the season Northwestern's been having. So, you know, it's a good. That's what rivalries are supposed to be like.
But Dave, you got to feel good because I don't know if you remember this, Dave, but there was a time when Northwestern sports were a little down.
Yeah, rumor has it.
Yeah, and to see the football program and the basketball program catching up with the women's lacrosse team. It was very impressive.
Yeah, and that took some doing because that's a really good program.
Yeah, and the men's golf team, too. Mm-hmm. And the women's golf team is pretty good, isn't it?
Yep, and the women's tennis team is a perennial Big Ten champ.
Right.
So, they've done well. But
it's a shame the academics are such a disaster at Northwestern, as you know.
Yeah.
So, at 6:16, we'll come back and do the top six at six. Sandberg's back today, so the rest of you sit up straight, start paying attention, because Sandberg's back in the house, and she's not putting up with any of our crap.
Oh, man.
Just back from Mexico.
She looks great. Yeah. She had a great time, relaxed.
So.
Had fun. She should be in a good mood today. We should have no
problems. Well, she wasn't until she got here.
Oh, Mary Quaid, she's always in a good mood. Stop it.
Oh. Yeah. Somebody left the cage on the lion's door open.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGNS.
Remember when I called Tom Skilling on his 60th birthday? Oh, Steve, it's so good to hear from you. I just... 60. Can you believe it? I thought I'd be dead.
What if you called him this morning? What do you think his response would
be? Oh, Steve, so great to hear from you. Crazy weather, as you know. I hope you're outside all weekend. I hope somebody locked you outside of your house. 70 degrees in February.
Did you play?
I did not.
Oh.
I didn't play golf either day.
A lot of people did.
But I did take an old man walk a couple of times and, kind of patrol the neighborhood. And I had a bunch of stuff I had to do. Unfortunately, a lot of it was outside. So, but crazy weather all over the country. In Texas, San Antonio and Austin, tornadoes overnight. We don't know the full details on them, but a lot of damage. And in California, unbelievable storm hit Southern California with flooding and wind damage as well. That was just epic. The video on that was unbelievable. Of course, the president says it never happened. This was fake news. It was just a goofy weather weekend. Syracuse, New York, not far from where I grew up, has had 100 inches of snow. They're the first major city in the country, and I don't know, major city, 100,000 or more, 200,000 or more, whatever it is, to have 100 inches of snow in one winter. And have we had 2 inches of snow this winter?
We had a bunch in December. Remember, we had three straight weekends where it snowed?
Was a lot of it measurable, though? It didn't seem
We had a couple pretty big ones. The first one, we had like a foot of snow. You don't remember
Was that here?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, we had a big one. Then it rained a couple days later. It was just the weirdest winter.
Are you guys sure that was here?
No, it rained, and then most of it melted within like
3 days. But what do we have as far as measurable snow goes? A foot then? Something like that?
We
got to be way behind.
We had like three straight weekends with storms.
Well, that's enough.
And then nothing, yeah.
That's enough.
It was our winter's worth.
Next! President Trump spent Sunday interviewing new finalists for the NSA job. This is the National Security Advisor. Supposedly down to four, and the front runner includes John Bolton, who has a giant Muppets mustache, and you see him on Fox quite a bit. Bolton, more of the old Warhawk variety, a couple of ex-military in there, and another government type, a decision expected sometime soon. I picture the interview going this way. Trump says... where do you see yourself in 5 years? And then the person on the other side of the desk goes, regretting my career decisions? Yes. Next! The internet's mean. In case you weren't aware of it, the internet's mean.
It's very true.
Melania Trump, beautiful Melania Trump, our first lady, comes out on Saturday for the reach around, pat myself on the butt event that Donald Trump had. And she did the Lord's Prayer. and did a fine job of it. And she also spent a few minutes talking about who she is and who she isn't, sort of a shot at the people that make fun of her on the internet. Immediately afterwards, the internet went crazy and ripped her. Just ripped her.
You know, that I think that's so uncalled for.
It's completely so uncalled for. If she's doing that, this is not barren.
No.
She's a grown woman. If she does something worthy of attack, something worthy of criticism, more to the point, okay. But to rip her because she's not from here, to rip her because she did nude modeling at one point in her career. Mm-hmm. By the way, nude modeling, not porn, nude modeling. Yeah. That was her job. And a lot of modeling with clothes on, too, by the way. Just completely out of line. People ripping the First Lady. So,
and basically, after she read the Lord's Prayer, she just kind of defended herself.
Yeah.
She didn't say she wasn't attacking other people.
No, she was. I thought she was perfectly appropriate.
I thought she was, too.
I thought the guy that followed her wasn't, but I thought she was great. Next. New York Times and Reuters, both the stories out this morning, doing deep dives, one on a backdoor deal tying the president to Russia and to a Ukraine deal. It's a very complicated story, but it certainly flies in the face of everything you heard this weekend of, I've had nothing to do with Russia, I have no money in Russia, and the president's people saying the same thing. The Reuters deal goes so far as to say that the Trump organization had and has several front companies set up that are under the umbrella of the Trump company and send money back to him that deal directly with Russia but don't have Trump's specific name on it. Both of those are significant stories. Both of them are a hot mess. Both of them will be continued. British Parliament's going to debate withdrawing an invite to the president to speak and visit the country. That debate will go on this week. And finally, this, a very troubling story. For those of you who may own a Remington 700, and there are millions of these guns around the country, 60 Minutes had a piece last night about them firing without anybody touching the trigger. And if you own a Remington 700, I would highly recommend you go to Google that story and watch that story and be a part of the recall that wasn't terribly well publicized a while ago, and go from there, because it's a dangerous thing. You know, these are guns that apparently have fired without any triggering whatsoever, and, you know, people have been killed. So, a sad story to watch, but an important story for you to know about in case you had not heard. That's your top six at six. You have one to add?
Last measurable snowfall was December 4th of last year, 6 inches.
In Chicago?
Yeah. Yeah, at O'Hare.
I don't think that's right. I think that's fake news.
No, it's real.
I think that's an alternative fact.
Oh, stop. Don't let my head spin this early.
3 weekends in a row.
Do you remember how bitterly cold it was in December? We're thinking this is going to be you've blocked this all out.
I really have, haven't I?
Yeah, I mean, it was like zero wind chills and stuff that we don't normally get that early.
Yeah, I have no recollection of any of this. Of course, I don't remember the drive-in this morning, so what else is new? And a bonus top six at six item. Sandberg's back from her Mexican vacation.
All right.
So where she and her husband, Pat, you know what, Pat?
Pat Boyle, Conquest Sportsnet.
Yeah, yep. They both were doing the groundbreaking for the Trump wall. Yeah, they were doing the groundbreaking.
No, they were not.
Yeah, the groundbreaking and the shoveling for the Trump wall.
It's funny. Fake news. You said the name Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, because in the airport, the lady working at the bar, I think her name was Lisa, on the way out, she said she saw us and she said, "That's Mary Sandberg," to him. And he said, "Mary Sandberg Boyle." And then she said, "Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet."
Yeah. Getting recognized at the airport.
Clearly she's a listener. So.
Pat used to really like me. I think that's going to end soon.
Used to
It's 6:29. We'll find out about Sandberg's Mexican tax dodge coming up later in the show. But in the meantime, back with the big story next. And Dr. Most this morning, you smokers, listen up. Dr. Most talk is smokers this morning in 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
We may need Dr. Most to join us after 9
I've got a stomach
in the CLTV hour
fungus on
because
my toe,
we'll have Paul Conrad
on.
And Paul's going to be very upset. There's a new list on BuzzFeed. Did you know BuzzFeed does lists? I don't know if you know that. A new list on BuzzFeed of the 50 hottest male TV news anchors in the country. Larry Potash and Pat Tomasulo both made it.
Yeah, Conrad wasn't on there.
Don't get excited about the fact that
No, Conrad I feel bad. I feel bad because he is...
Yeah, Conrad wasn't on there. Oh, it's better for the show because he'll be, you know, very... Well, I think he'll be upset. We'll
bitter.
Yeah, anyway, that'll be after that. Dr. Kevin Most joins us. How was your weekend?
Do you think Paul's going to be depressed? Is that why you want to be
so.
With him?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think we need to help him handle anxiety and stress.
Yes.
So
he seems very on edge.
If you put like Paul Conrad and Tomasulo and Potash in a room together, you would think there'd be some women that would go for Conrad, wouldn't you? No one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Judging by personality, absolutely.
All right, his anxiety will definitely be there. How was your weekend? What'd you do?
You know, what do you think? 65, 70 degrees? So
I'm guessing that you were inside reading medical manuals?
Yes, all weekend.
Yeah, so that's a...
No, it was nice. Even with a bad cold, I still got out and, you know, got to play golf with the brothers on Saturday. Even little Jerry, David's little 5-year-old came out, and we had a great time.
Now, last week, speaking of your family, I was a guest of MacMost at WLTL, which is where? What school is it?
LaGrange. LaGrange,
Lyons Township.
Lyons Township.
Yep.
And a lot of people have come through that program, and I went out and spoke to the youngsters about, you know, show business.
Did you inspire young minds?
Well, here's how it works. You go in, you talk to them, and they go, yeah, who's the old guy? And I'm talking for a while. And then I started talking to them about them. And as soon as I turned it on them, they were fascinated. Once I started talking about them, Doc, they couldn't have been more thrilled.
You know, they're finishing their marathon this weekend. They go 88.1 hours for this weekend as a fundraiser.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. You can watch it online. And,
it's an amazing radio station in a high school.
It's pretty cool.
And they got a television station in a high school as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mac's great, and he still says you're his favorite uncle.
Yeah, I got to stop sending him those checks.
I was going to say, keep the cash coming. Yeah, definitely keep the cash coming. But he's a great kid. All right, so let's talk about smoking. I never have, but I grew up in a house with a father who would literally light one with the next one. And my mother was a pretty heavy smoker as well. My dad probably, and I'm not exaggerating, 3-4 packs a day guy. My mother, maybe a pack a day. You can understand maybe why I didn't have any interest in it. But I was under the impression, Doc, that smoking is way, 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 way down. Is that true?
Well, from what you were talking about, it absolutely is. Because what you were talking about as you were a child, those smoking rates were probably north of 30, maybe 40, maybe even approach 50% at some time. We're down, for the most part of the country, we're down at about 15% right now. There are still some states that are up about 25%. And we've seen a big decrease in the past 10 years, down from 20% to 15%, but still very prevalent considering that we know all the damage that smoke does.
And the damage that smoke does, you know, starts with the way we grew up in the 70s, the Marlboro Man and all of those guys making it seem like everybody ought to be doing it.
Yeah. You know, between Joe Camel and the Marlboro Man, smoking was cool. That's what you were supposed to do. And when in World War One, we gave cigarettes and rations to our soldiers. So when they came back, they were addicted to cigarettes, and it just exploded from there. So, you know, if you look at the history of cigarette smoking across this country, it's absolutely fascinating when you look to see the impact advertising has on a product that we know is going to cause harm. And, you know, we talk about harm being with lung cancer, but boy, there's a lot more harm. Bronchitis, pneumonia, emphysema, secondhand smoke. So it's actually amazing history.
I was going to ask you about secondhand smoke. That's so key. I still, you know, I'm parked behind or I'm driving behind someone one time or sometimes, and people flick the cigarettes out of the car still, which that just drives me crazy. But the dangers of secondhand smoke, is that gone down slightly, Doc?
Well, it has because of what we've done, right? So we restricted where you can smoke. If you remember, Andrea, the days when you went out of the bars and hung out all night, and you would come home and you'd be like, oh,
of course she remembers. It was this weekend.
I got to throw these clothes away because they just reeked of smoke.
It's true. Remember that?
Yeah. And now, at least, you know, we've protected those workers. you know, that the people that were exposed to, like your dad, Steve, they were probably exposed to four packs of cigarettes during their work shift.
So, well, but I often wonder, too, you know, you look at Christopher Reeve.
Yep.
Christopher Reeve and his wife both dying from lung cancer, and I don't believe either one smoked, right?
Correct.
So is there an exposure problem where it's some sort of latency in your body that it comes up later in life, or we don't know?
Well, there's not so much that. There's about probably, if you look at all people with lung cancer, you're probably looking at 90% of them, there's a known smoking exposure, known smoking history. There's still going to be another 10-15% that, boy, they get lung cancer and we don't have any reason why. We know that radon might cause some of it. We know that there's probably some other chemical exposures. And then there's probably a genetic portion to it as well. But the vast majority of them, and the ones that we can impact, the ones that we can change, are those that are being exposed to cigarette smoke.
And the exposure is probably, I'm guessing, more dangerous in children and older people?
Absolutely. You know, Andrew, you talk about secondhand smoke, and we say, okay, let's take it out of the restaurants and take it out of public places so we can protect them. We really have to remember in your home. You know, in Chicago, when it's super cold out, nobody wants to go outside and smoke a cigarette. And they go, oh, it's only one cigarette. But with kids, we know that inflammation causes asthma. So we start to see a huge increase in the number of asthmatic kids coming from homes of smokers. So I always tell people, you know what, if you're going to get out of the house, don't just go in the garage. Get away from the house and smoke so that when you come in, you're not bringing any of the irritants in to expose your kids. And the biggest thing is, don't be around a newborn. The lungs are still developing. They cannot take a toxic hit when they're very young.
You know what I'm smelling more of, too, is the medical marijuana. I mean, I'm assuming it's medical marijuana.
You've got to get out of the bars.
No, I'm telling you, in buildings and even along the bike path, I'll see people, you know, smoking what I am hoping and assuming is medicinal marijuana. The secondhand smoke from that isn't good either, right?
It's not. As a matter of fact, you know, some people say it might even be worse. There's no filters on those. So, you know, there's more of the exposure to it. That being said, it's kind of interesting what you said. It's amazing how you now will smell smoke and you'll be looking around going, who's smoking? And it might be somebody, you know, tens of yards away. But our noses now are so in tune to that because we're not exposed to it. Same with marijuana. And it used to be, oh, you know, there's some kids smoking marijuana. But now we do have to realize that there's approved uses for marijuana. And don't just judge those people based on what your history has been.
We'll come back. And Dave Ennett needs to talk about the fight for air climb. But we'll also do the likelihood that you're going to be able to beat smoking. So for those of you driving to work this morning, you're getting ready to go, you know, having your coffee and your cigarette going, I wish I could quit. Maybe Doc's got a new plan for you. Maybe he's got an idea. Maybe he doesn't. I guess you'll just have to stick around and find out. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Dave, Doc joins us again, and your fight for air climb is when?
It is a week from Sunday. It's March the 5th. The American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb, presented by United Healthcare at the Presidential Towers. It's Chicago's biggest air climb. We have, I think, over 30 climbers now on our WGN radio team, but we're still looking for more, and we're still inviting
others. Some staff members that are going to be there?
Yeah, over 30.
But they're not listeners in that over 30? They're all staff?
I think they're no, I think that number is just our staff.
Wow. Well, there's always listeners, right,
always,
Dave?
Listeners always join us.
Yeah, the same ones every year.
Yeah, Mary, Mary's not joining us this
year.
Why
aren't you going?
I'll be in Florida. I'm so bummed.
This why, is like why are you going to be in Florida?
Stay here. I'm on vacation.
Stay here. The weather's nicer here,
know.
Mayor.
This is the first year I haven't done it. I'm bummed.
Yeah, where are you going in Florida?
Sanibel.
Yeah, I hear it's going to be bad that weekend.
Oh, come on. No tornadoes.
And there are no really tall buildings in Sanibel either.
Yeah.
But it's 2,340 steps, 180 floors total, 45 in each of the four towers. You don't have to climb all four, but that's what we're going to do.
You're going to do great.
And you can register or pledge online at fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100. It's really a terrific event. And should be a great day.
And, Doc, you had an idea for me instead of the fight for air climb, stair climb.
Well, I did, but I think you should share it.
It's a fight for air climb, elevator climb, where you climb into the elevator and you take that because it's faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
What if we put, how about this, Steve? What if we put like a step stool or stepladder in the elevator, and then you climbed up and down that stepladder while the elevator was going up.
Like an aerobic step?
Sort of, yeah.
You can do that, Stephen.
And I can put on like an Olivia Newton-John headband.
Yes. And leg warmers.
Yes, get physical.
And I'll hold the elevator door open for you and write a nice big fat check.
All right, good. I'm into that.
What Andrea has just said is probably the biggest thing. I think, you know, it's great that Dave and his team and the team and it to win it. So, I mean, it's a pretty cool name. But, you know, go online. If you can't go down and do it, go online and donate. Yeah. Even just a few dollars, because I'll tell you, lung cancer and lung disease is one where we are falling behind and we have not made the advances like we have in many other cancers. It's terrible.
So
they really need the funding dollars.
Yeah, I wrote a big check last year. I'll probably do it again this year. All right, I will. I'll write a check this year as well, just because I don't want to deal with the, you know, the hassle of not going.
And yeah. Plus, Monday morning, you would come in and we would shame you.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so I'm happy to write a check.
Yeah, we'll write big fat checks.
Yeah. Can you take a credit card? This little scam you're running, will you take a credit card as well, Dave?
Go to fightforairclimb.org and... They have all the information there.
Yeah, it's not a scam. It's the American Lung Association. Yes. It couldn't be more legit, and they're great people. Samberg?
I wanted to point out, Doc Most said in his prep, he was talking about when people find out they have lung cancer, it's too late, because that means it's already, I don't know the phrasing of it, but by the time you know you have lung cancer, you aren't usually surviving. It's just extending life. But you were saying that there's a test, Doc?
Correct.
That people Correct. Can get. And so I don't think anyone knows about this. And I know, like, I'm going to have my parents do it because they fall into the category you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, like Mary just said, often by the time we diagnose lung cancer, it is metastasized so much or it has spread so much that really there's no cure. It's just how do we extend life? How do we make your quality of life as good as we can and your quantity? But we're not going to be able to cure it. However, we know that if we can find it early enough, we can cure it. If it's located in just one lobe, a lobe of the lung, we can remove a portion of the lung and actually remove the cancer and save it. So we never had good screening tests. I can tell you one of my worst days as a doctor was on Christmas morning, and I was seeing a patient. I did a chest x-ray, and he had a big mass in his lung, and he's sitting there with his two daughters, and I'm like, you know, just crying almost. But now we do have an approved test. It's called a low-dose CAT scan. Now, the beauty of CAT scans are is that they can pick up very small things that we wouldn't see in a chest x-ray. So we've done enough studies to show that this works. And so here's what you have to be. If you're a smoker or you've quit in the past 15 years, you're between the ages of 55 and 74, and you smoke more than 30 pack years in your life, you're eligible to have this test done. It's covered by your insurance. It's a screening test just like a colonoscopy would be.
And what's the success of the test?
Very high. We're talking, I mean, extremely high as far as two things happen. They'll see something and they'll say, okay, it is so small right now, we're not sure what that is. Instead of going in and having surgery, we're going to rescreen you in 6 months. But at least we're starting to track these things. So if we find something that's growing irregularly, we can go in and treat it and take care of it before it has spread, which is the biggest part right now. There's estimates about 7 million, 6.8 million people are eligible for this, and yet only 4%, whether they don't know about it or whether they don't want to know. But it's sad that we have these people that would qualify for this test that would extend their quantity of life as well as their quality of life, and the test isn't being done.
Do doctors know, or do doctors bring it up enough?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the doctors, one thing with doctors is now is we probably don't ask as much of what was your past smoking history. I always want to know if you smoked and when you quit, because we know that as you start quitting, the impact of quitting is huge, even after a very short period of time. But we probably haven't gone back and said, when you were smoking, did you fit into this category? You know, because a lot of people wised up when they got a little bit older and stopped smoking. And for docs, it's like, okay, wait a second. Did you hit that 30-pack here? Are you now in this age range, and should we be getting this test?
All right, we're way late here, but we have to talk about quitting. How do you quit?
Well, Steve, you know, I think the biggest thing is the biggest deterrent is what's your motivation? If you say it's a New Year's resolution, I'll tell you, you can forget it. You're not going to quit. It's got to either be health of your family, health of others, financial impact are probably the big ones. So once you have the motivation, we have so many ways to do it now. We have medications that can do it. Hypnosis can do it. If you want to try cold turkey, we have psychologists that will help you. There's so many different ways, and each different way is going to be tailored to an individual. Someone might say, you know what, I'm going to do great with medication because I don't want to do the hypnosis, or I don't want to do psychology training, or I don't want to break this habit. But I'll tell you, it's got to be, you have to have a motivation, and that's going to be the biggest thing. And I tell you, New Year's resolution is not going to cut it. It's going to be your health, extending the quality and quantity of your life, the health of others in your family, or the financial impact it's making on you and your family.
For more information on it, where do you send people?
You know, American Lung Association is great, and I would, you know, anybody that's had someone who's died of lung cancer, it's an absolutely terrible way to die. Anybody who's had a family member with emphysema, it's a terrible way to die. So, you know, open up your checkbook, write Dave a check, or, you know, not Dave, but to support him.
Yeah, don't make it payable to Dave.
Yeah. But the people that are going out and are trying to increase the awareness, even $20 will make a huge impact because we have to get our arms around this illness.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. And have a good day. Thanks for being on.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later. News next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Perhaps no nation on earth is more committed to accepting foreign migrants and refugees than Sweden. 2016 alone, the country accepted more than 160,000 asylum seekers, despite having a population of less than 10 million people. Only 500 of these migrants were able to get jobs in Sweden. But if these arrivals aren't able to work, they're at least able to commit crimes.
You look at what's happening in Germany. You look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Sweden. Who would believe this? Sweden. They took in large numbers. They're having problems like they never thought possible. You look at what's happening in Brussels. You look at what's happening all over the world. Take a look at Nice. Take a look at Paris.
The reason everybody made the assumption that President Trump was under the belief that a terrorist attack occurred in Sweden is because he mentioned Brussels and Nice and Paris, where terrorist attacks occurred. He tweeted over the weekend, he was talking about a Fox report he saw Saturday night. You don't get to, including being the president of the United States, you don't get to use the term fake news over and over again. And you don't get to stand up in front of a crowd of faithfuls and say things that are inaccurate. And the amazing thing about this statement to me is at some point, you're Donald Trump, okay? It's Saturday morning, you come down to work. Hey, fellas. Hey, ladies. How about that Sweden thing? That was something else, huh? How does that not come up conversationally where somebody in the non-chaotic White House doesn't say to the President of the United States, no, sir, you got that wrong. You must have been taking a phone call. You must have been distracted. There was no terrorist attack in Sweden. How does he not bring that up somewhere during the course of the day as opposed to just going off script? Mm-hmm. Because you have to assume that wasn't written on the teleprompter.
It certainly was not.
Well, we don't know that. You don't know. You don't know that maybe somebody else had it wrong. We assume that wasn't the case. But to get it factually correct is really important. If I'm going to call you a liar, I better be telling the truth. If I'm going to say you make stuff up, I better never make stuff up. You can't stand there and say fake news and continue that sermon of BS that he continues to throw out there and then literally say, how about that Sweden last night?
When I heard that, literally, did your phone start blowing up too? Because
Sure.
get all these text
sure,
alerts. I'm
of
going,
course.
Wait, what? What, A,
well,
what
I
happened
watched
in
it
Sweden?
Live.
How did we miss? What?
I watched it live at 5 o'clock, I guess, Saturday night. And listen, I pay attention to the news.
Oh, yeah.
I knew there was no terrorist attack in Sweden. I'm not even close to the presidency. So for him not to have been able to, you know, put that through the ringer, sift it through,
yeah, and
make sure it's right. It's amazing. There should be a no ad lib rule for him. They should literally say to him, Mr. President, if you feel the urge to ad lib something, don't.
Right.
And the Secret Service should have a roll of duct tape next to them. And the minute he has a high sign, I think I'm about to ad lib, they run over and they put duct tape over his mouth.
And you know, too, I mean, it's almost, I hate to throw the word common sense back at him or at any politician for that matter. But if there is an attack, the world leaders usually call each other, offer support, either you know, condolences.
Well, the world leaders are a big part of this, because if you have no faith in the president of the United States giving you factual information, and this is the same administration that gave you the Bowling Green massacre and the Atlanta massacre, who knows what won't happen next? Mm-hmm. The problem is other people don't have any faith in you. These are how troubles escalate. So at some point, assuming he lasts 4 years, at some point he's going to have to stand up and give a very serious speech about a very serious problem and a potential military incursion we're having somewhere in the world. Well, we're going to believe him?
Facts matter.
Facts matter. So stop with this fake news nonsense. Stop with all this lying and actually get your own facts straight before you open your mouth.
Who would believe this? Sweden.
Unbelievable. The tweet on Friday that had everybody fired up too was the tweet that said the fake news media is not my enemy. It's the enemy of the American people. This is not dramatic. This is right out of the playbook of every authoritarian thug around the world who's ever tried to take control. Delegitimize the media first, and then begin to turn yourself into the king you always wanted to be. I don't for a minute ascribe that amount of strategy to Donald Trump. And I don't think Donald Trump wants to be king. And I do think Donald Trump wants to help people on some level in his own way. But it's an unbelievably narrow-minded, ridiculous thing to say, and it's every reason people within his circle were upset that he was still going to tweet every day, because he makes these kinds of mistakes. Senator McCain summed it up very well yesterday on Meet the Press. He's actually in Germany and spoke to some of our foreign allies, as opposed to our domestic allies, spoke to some of our allies about the fact that, no, we're on your team. But here he is with our friend Chuck Dodd.
I hate the press. I hate you especially. But the fact is, we need you. We need a free press. We must have it. It's vital. If you want to preserve, I'm very serious now, if you want to preserve democracy as we know it, you have to have a free and many times adversarial press. And without it, I'm afraid that we would lose so much of our individual liberties over time. That's how dictators get started.
There's a point made over the weekend, which is absolutely true. Every president whines about the media. Everyone. Obama whined, Bush whined, Clinton whined, Reagan whined. They all whine. But you have to have that adversarial relationship with the media, because the only line of security between you and power-hungry knuckleheads taking over the country and doing what they want with it, whether it's this administration or any other administration, are great reporters telling the truth. And when somebody like Carl Bernstein stands up and says, this is really bad, and this feels to me as bad as it felt back in the days of Watergate, he's the guy that was half of the team that took down Nixon. Right. Pay attention to him.
Yeah.
So the damage you continue to do by throwing out this fake news stuff is significant.
You can't lie. If you have a news conference, you call a press conference, you can't lie about it. I would actually, Steve, rather have him say what he said last week. I'm not going to tell you. What are you going to do with Russia? I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
If you just if you don't want to say it, say I'm not going to tell you. We're not going to divulge our strategy. But don't make stuff up.
The president either has or is about to sign a new executive order, which includes the seven countries on the court overturned executive order, but does not include green card holders. Whether this would pass court muster remains to be seen. But it would take a transplant from Britain to explain all of this to the president, as John Oliver tried to last night on why the Swedish mess is important.
Trump dominates the news cycle the way a fart dominates the interior of a Volkswagen Beetle. There is simply no escape from him. Now, just a case in point. Last night, Trump held a pointless rally in Florida, which got roadblock coverage across cable news. And while his speech was mostly boilerplate Trump, the media is fake, Chicago is a nightmare, I'm the greatest, there was one thing he said while warning about the danger of refugees that caught people's attention.
You look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Sweden. Who would believe this? Sweden. They took in large numbers. They're having problems like they never thought possible.
Oh, no. What happened there? What was it? There was just one little problem with what the president said. And I think this news clip sums it up.
We start this hour with an urgent plea from Sweden to the U.S. government asking, what is your president talking about?
Yeah. It turns out there was no terror attack. And look, Just a quick message to all other countries on Earth. In the future, you're going to find yourself wanting to ask, what is your president talking about a great deal? And the answer is almost always going to be, we have no f***ing idea.
Barry's back. Traffic trouble spots right now on 720 WGN.
Actually, pretty clear. And most of the roadways with the holiday, Metro CTA operating on their normal weekday schedule. There's minor delays in the outbound side of the Kennedy just around Nagel, but the rest of the expressways and tollways are in great shape. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Pre-approved by Acunet Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mira Vandeville, WGN Traffic Central.
Tickets for the Blackhawks and the Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't know if you know this. They've decided to play hockey as well.
Real, they might do better.
The Coyotes. I saw a coyote in my neighborhood.
Wait, he get away from my neighborhood? What happened?
He's hanging around, just kind of skulking around at 4 o'clock this morning.
Yeah. Did he look at you with those beady eyes?
Yeah, he did, actually. Yeah.
It's not the same coyote, though, that Dave has, is it?
No, yeah. No. We have thousands of coyotes.
So many of them.
And a ton in the city as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're all heavy drinkers, which is why they're up all night.
So, they rats.
They do?
That's what they say.
So you should get one if you ever
write. I guess, yeah. I think a cat might be a better idea.
Our friend Dr. Sam, the veterinarian,
yeah,
he said if you see one in the daytime, that's not a good thing because they're not up and during the day. They're nocturnal. And if they're up during the day, they're either injured or possibly, you know, sick.
Hungry.
A little messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see them in the daytime all the time.
Well,
I
have you one live in, my yard. In a zoo.
I yeah. don't live in a zoo.
Yeah, you do.
I'm in a relatively serene suburban neighborhood.
It's not a Disney film, Dave. Move to civilization.
Maybe.
I was going to say it's like Zippity-Doo-Dah in Dave's backyard.
Sandberg, we need to get Dr. Sam on. Let's get Dr. Sam on to talk critters. But... the reason I bring all of this up is because it's not actually the Coyotes. It is the Coyotes. It's not actually the Diamondbacks. Who's coming to play the Blackhawks?
It is the Arizona Coyotes. You were right the first time.
On Thursday. You're going to be entered to win 4 season tickets if you win here as well. So I'm going to give a Hawk a riddle written by John DeCoste, the musical director of the program. And if you know the answer to the Hawk a riddle on where we've hit a puck, you will win these tickets. And these tickets are courtesy of our friends at 4 Seasons. 4 Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. You ready?
Ready.
Yes.
And here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do, because you can only have one winner here. If you don't win here, I'm going to give you a chance to win everything on the prize list at, other than these tickets, at 7:40 with the President's Day game. It's a game I'm inventing right now.
Oh, yes. I like the President's Day game.
Did we play it before?
I think we have.
Okay.
You've invented it before.
I hope I remember the rules. But the President's Day game, come on up at 7:40. Okay? Hawker Riddle. I can end in we stand or just the word way. So fly, friendly skies. See hardwood, ice, come to play.
Got it.
You ready?
Oh,
I can end in we stand or just the word way. So fly, friendly skies, see hardwood, ice, come to play.
Got it.
Where do we hide the puck?
Easy. It's an easy one.
Do you really have it?
I do. Yes. I think.
Really, if I can get it,
for
it's
real,
easy.
I think I have it.
Number to call is 312-981-7200. We'll tell you who the winner is and what the answer is to that Hawker Riddle in just a moment. We're back after this with the big story on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Where essentially I'm the president.
On Chicago's very own.
I love Chicago. I know Chicago.
720 WGN.
Actually, Mr. President, you're the president. Not essentially, you're the president. Kate from Naperville got it right. The Hawker Riddle. KD got it right. The Hawker Riddle, I can end in we stand or just say the word way. So fly, friendly skies, see hardwood, ice, come into play. Where do we hide the puck? What did Katie say? Yes, Andrea.
Can we say it? The yes. United Center.
That's correct. You've won nothing. However, Katie has won a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks and Arizona on Thursday night. And you're going to be entered to win 4 season tickets for next year, courtesy of 4 Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. All right, but for those of you who are all big losers, huge losers, We're going to play the President's Day game. And the President's Day game works this way because I just invented it. We need two callers, one who wants to pick the Washington category, one who wants to pick the Lincoln category.
Okay.
And then you'll have to get three questions right. I will either give you a fact that's factual, or I'll give you an alternate Lincoln or Washington fact.
So a lie.
Yeah, a lie.
A fake fact. Yeah,
a fake fact. Yeah. So again, 312-981-7200. We'll have one winner from the Lincoln category, one from the Washington category, and you'll get all the prizes on the prize list that aren't hockey tickets. Okay?
All right.
And they can ask you guys to help.
Okay. We're ready.
Okay. I love this game. This is great.
Including Mary Vandeveld and Grzanich. Oh, Grzanich isn't in his chair. She's not going to be able to play. So we'll get to those callers here in just a second. Also coming up in a few minutes. We'll find out if Sandberg created an international incident while on vacation in Mexico.
All right, how many times did you bug her?
What are you talking about?
Didn't you text her, ask her for show info?
Every couple hours.
Okay.
Yeah. No, she and I were talking about this yesterday. If you're on vacation and you don't want to be bothered, don't answer your texts or your emails. But if there's a question that comes in about work, answer the question.
Right.
I'm pretty easy. I don't ask much.
You are pretty easy. Yeah.
Tommy's going to play on the Lincoln side of the equation, so let's go to Tommy. Now, Tommy, do you have a lot of Lincoln knowledge?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Yes, you will. All right, I will bring you a fact. You tell me if it's an actual fact about Abraham Lincoln or a made-up fact, an alternative Lincoln fact. And again, if you don't know, feel free to ask the kids here on the show. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, you must get three answers correct.
Okay.
John Wilkes Booth, of course, assassinated Abraham Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth was a famous actor. Abraham Lincoln was a big fan of John Wilkes Booth prior to the shooting. Is that a fact or an alternate fact?
Fact.
Well, that's one. He's already on a roll. Oh,
didn't even need help.
No.
Nicely done. He just blew you guys off.
Right?
Thank you.
Had Lincoln not become a politician, he had always dreamed of being a dancer. If he wasn't a politician, he had always dreamed of being a dancer. Is that true or not true?
Natural.
Alternative facts.
Look at this. This guy's on a roll.
He is.
Yeah. What gave that up for you? Was it his size 14 shoes?
Probably.
You know, he had the largest feet of any president, size 14. He was also the tallest at 6'4".
Yeah, there aren't many very tall dancers.
Yeah, and did a lot of people aspire to be dancers back in the 1850s?
Well, you had to keep it quiet.
Yeah.
You know what he was really? You know what he was? He's a great wrestler. He's a phenomenal wrestler. He is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame, and he had a career record of 299-1, and I'm not making that up.
Wow. What?
Yeah, he was an amazing wrestler. Wrestler, I'm sure, is
did
what they called
him. Did they wear the onesies back then?
Yeah, I think so. Wow. Yeah, yeah. If you go to the Lincoln Museum, I'm sure his wrestling onesie's probably there. He was the first president to push for women to have the right to vote.
Natural.
No, I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong hand signal. It's incorrect.
Alternative facts.
Yes, yeah, so that's an alternative fact. He was, in fact. He was the first president to push for the right to vote.
Yeah.
Let me see. Oh, this was a good one. And again, did I make this up or is this an actual fact? After his death, a Chicago gang was caught while trying to steal his body and hold it for ransom. Fact or alternative fact?
Alternative fact.
Alternative facts.
Actual fact.
True.
Actual fact.
Oh, my God.
You still need a third one.
What game was that?
If you weren't the Crips.
It wasn't the Crips, but it was a game. You're right.
It was
a game, yeah.
Tommy, if you weren't so cocky, you could ask for help around here. Yeah. Mr. I Know Everything.
Well, you know, 2-2 right now.
He was doing pretty well.
I just think it
says a lot about his confidence in you four.
Right? Jeez, Tommy.
All right, I really want you to be a winner here. So on the night of Lincoln's assassination, he didn't want to go to the theater. He actually had hoped to stay home and Netflix and chill. Is that a fact or an alternative fact?
Should I ask for help?
Yeah, you should.
I'm confident that's an alternative fact.
Alternative facts.
Congratulations, you're a big winner. Hold the line.
Good thing he didn't ask for help.
Yeah, I thought he wanted to stay home and play with the kids.
I didn't get, hold the line for a second. I didn't get a chance to even get to some of the others here. Did you know Lincoln, before he decided on a top hat, experimented with a fedora, a sombrero, and a beanie?
That's not true.
That's not true. That's actually not true. It's not true at all. Did you know he was the first president to have a government patent?
That is true. Isn't
I
it?
Did know that.
For the garden weasel?
That's not for the garden
what?
Weasel.
I mean, I don't know what it was for, but he did have a patent. Yeah. He was a licensed bartender. His son Robert was saved from a train accident by the brother of John Wilkes Booth. How about that?
Yeah.
John Wilkes Booth's brother Edwin saved Robert Lincoln.
There's a really cool documentary that they play every now and again on the History Channel on the life of Lincoln. And the assassination and John Wilkes Booth. It's fascinating.
Do you know, in the Civil War, he started a balloon squad? Yeah, balloons, soldiers and balloons.
What? Come on.
That's true.
Like hot air balloons?
Like balloon
yeah.
animals?
Yeah, hot air balloons.
Oh.
Yeah, not balloon animals. Hey, look at this. Who wants a doggy? Did you know he practiced law without a degree? He never finished school of any kind. I mean, he went to school, but he never finished. It's great that you could practice law without a degree.
He had a fake degree, like law hanging license.
Yeah, no, you didn't need one. I'm a lawyer. Just ask me.
I did it online.
So here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. You do traffic, and then we'll give you a moment to play with Washington. Cody will be our Washington contestant on President's Day, the game. Yes, it's President's Day. And it's time to play the George Washington version of the carefully crafted President's Day game. Let's go to Cody, who is standing by. Cody, what do you do?
Construction.
Were you a good student? Did you pay attention to history?
I tried.
All right, Cody. You have to get three Washington answers correctly by telling me if they're facts or some crap that I made up.
Cody has to be pretty young because there aren't a lot of old people named Cody.
You don't think so?
No.
Cody, I think, was like a Civil War era name. I think there were people named Cody back then.
I'm saying he was just in
there
school.
There was Buffalo Bill Cody. Oh.
Buffalo Bill.
Oh.
Yep. Hello. There you go.
I knew a guy in high school named Cody.
George Washington was the only president to get 100% of the electoral votes. Fact or not a fact?
I'm going to say not a fact. I don't think there was an electoral college then.
Oh, tough break. In fact, there was. Yes.
What?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Remember, you can ask for help or you can be cocky like our last winner. George Washington cut down a cherry tree and was famous for life because of it.
I'm going to ask for help.
Did George Washington chop down a cherry tree? Anybody?
I'm going to say Dave. I think he did.
Dave, you grew up in Washington. You should know this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of people cut down cherry trees around
during
there.
Cherry Blossom Festival?
Yes. I'd say it was. I don't think it was actually true. I don't think he did.
Mm. Maybe made up by a famous author back in the day to increase the legend of George Washington.
It's part of the legend. It's part of the folklore.
Yeah, I think it was a legend. I think it was not a
myth.
A
myth. Ah, congratulations. It's actually George Washington's brother, Ned.
Phil? Oh,
Ned.
Yeah.
Ned Washington.
They didn't talk about
that
very much.
Isaiah?
George Washington's teeth were wood. Did George Washington have wooden teeth?
Fact.
Oh, dude. No, they were made of animal, human teeth. A couple of them were iron. He had some stuff in there that were Nerf.
He didn't have Nerf.
He had Nerf teeth. Yeah, he actually had Nerf teeth. All right, you still need two more answers, but they were not wooden. Let's see. George Washington, when he died, was worth $525 million by today's standards.
False.
Wow, you really suck at this
game,
Cody.
Well, give him a little reassurance.
You had that much money?
You're doing all right, Cody.
Yeah,
he's
very
baby.
Wealthy. What? Very wealthy.
Money.
Give him a little
Mount Vernon is
reassurance.
Beautiful. Have you ever been to Mount Vernon? Oh. I love it.
That's great. It's not air conditioned.
Try help. You got to have two more, Cody, and the show ends at 10, okay? George Washington was the first president to live in the White House, but it was red then because they wanted to confuse the Brits.
Oh, boy.
Cody.
The White House was never red.
Cody,
the White House is never red.
Ask us for help, Cody. Of course, we don't know either.
On the next one.
George Washington's favorite sportscaster was Dave Ennett.
Ask him.
Well, I mean, if Dave Ennett was alive back then, I'm sure it would be, but I'm going to say that is false. Go Cats.
Cal, yeah, congratulations.
There you go. Good call,
thanks.
Cody.
On all counts. Thank you.
You only need one more, and this one's tough. During the Revolutionary War, George Washington stopped a battle to return a lost dog to the enemy side. Now, keep in mind, that was hand-to-hand combat then. So,
I'm going to ask for help on this one.
I think it's true.
You think it's true? Remember, he's got to get this right.
Man, I
true.
I
true.
Know.
True, is it true?
Yeah, true.
Yes!
Oh, really?
Can you imagine that? Go, hey.
Hold on.
Hey, whoa, with the bayonets. Who's Beagle? Somebody left a Beagle over here.
Time out.
Congratulations, Cody. Even though you sucked at the game, you're a big winner.
Can I tell you what he's getting?
Yes.
He's getting an Apt gift card and a Chevy Drive Chicago prize pack.
And a Lou Malnati's pizza.
Awesome. All right. I gave the Lincoln winner the pizza.
I said everything on the prize list.
How about a dog? Give him a dog.
And a dog named Boo. Congratulations, Cody. You get all that, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Hey, Cody, don't go away sad. You won.
Well, you made fun of him.
Well, he deserves to be made fun of.
Come on.
The White House was never red.
Cody is cute.
Sandberg's back from Mexico. Did you cause an international incident?
I didn't, actually.
Did you have fun?
I had the best time. It was the best trip.
I had plenty of attitude from Cody. I don't need attitude on
no,
you.
No attitude from me. I highly recommend. Can I tell you, we stayed at the Hyatt Ziva in Cancun, which I know sounds very like 1992, but it's a brand new hotel and everybody should go there.
Why is it called the Ziva?
I don't know. It's just their like resort.
Z-I-V-A?
Yeah. There's a like. There's one in, I think, Playa del Carmen. They have a couple of them.
And are you doing this as a free commercial because this is Paola?
No Paola. Oh. It was the best. I wish. But it was the best. Best in the bathroom, they have double sinks. So that way, if you have separate sink etiquette as your partner, there's... it's
when like, I talk to you, this was messy, like the thing you were the most excited about.
When we walked in the room, I'm like, sink. Double sinks. So yeah, that's really important to me.
Right.
Because it's new, the air conditioning works really well, so your room actually gets cold, and you can blow dry your hair without sweating. You know, sometimes that's a problem in the warmer climates.
This seems like a great reason to go to Cancun. Your own sink and a blow dryer.
Hotel amenities are very important.
Yeah,
though.
Like, and you
they
feel like
really
you actually
are.
Get clean. Yeah. It was the rooms were really quiet. The food was
well. What
really
did you do? Did you go
good.
To a beach or anything?
Oh, I sat at the pool. We sat every
did
morning.
Did Pat go with you, or did yeah. you lose him?
Oh no, he. We,
did you lose him?
We would no. sleep in, and then we would go pick out chairs. Another thing that's nice about this is it's a late waking up crowd, so you don't have to get up at like 7 a.m. to get a chair, because I can't stand that.
That's a rough deal when you got to go down and put your claiming towel on the chair.
And there's unlimited towels. Nobody was like saying you can only get two towels at once at the pool, like with a card, and nobody made me wear an icky plastic bracelet around my wrist, because I never liked that, because thanks for this neon green thing that clashes with my dress. Later on in the evening.
Or your bathing suit?
Yeah, I don't like that. So
you know,
when
we were at
that.
Disney, you could pick the color of your bracelet, so you could have color coordinated it.
Okay, well, at least there's that. But there was no bracelet.
Yeah.
We would go to breakfast, then we'd come back and hang out at the pool, do a little reading, chit-chatting, making fun of people.
Made some fans? Or
no,
friend,
we didn't make any friends. We didn't talk to anybody. I'm not there to make friends.
I gotta tell you, Pat and Sandberg sound like fun couple, don't they? Aren't they the fun couple?
Do not talk
but
to
it's
me.
Their vacation. They're trying to chill. They're trying to Netflix and chill.
One of the staff members kept saying to Pat, "Oh, the guy, he's in his spot. He's always in his spot because we didn't move. Like, I guess we didn't do enough in his eyes." But then we would go to the gym in the afternoon at like 4.
Did you parasail? Any kind of funny?
No, we didn't do any activity. Sorry. I'm not that fun, really.
Did you go to Cozumel?
No. Why?
Did you buy chicken?
Well, because you're in Cancun and it's right there.
I know, we could see it. It's like, hey there, guys.
They can see Cozumel from their chairs.
No, we slept, we ate, we did a little working out. We played golf one day, which was really fun. It was fabulous.
What was the temperature? Because it was
80 and sunny. It was so beautiful. And there was like no humidity. It was, people should go there.
But look at it this way. You could have been here. It was only 10 degrees cooler and you could have had all your own stuff.
I know. But you know what? We brought... 98 pounds worth of stuff. I know that from our suitcases. And I used actually like...
all of it.
Yeah, almost 10% of it didn't get used, which was great. Because I bring all my own hair products and stuff because I can't be using other people's things. The food was good. I need help from listeners, though.
You need help from more than listeners.
I have a I have a Tumi bag, a suitcase.
T-U-M-I? Or Mike
yeah,
Tumi?
Yeah, it's a big one. And it's not that old, but the telescoping handle won't retract easily right now. And so I was just going to buy a new bag.
WD-40.
Well, I tried
it. Save it for
work.
Lou on Friday.
No, I want it Tumi repair. Has anyone used Tumi repair? Because a new bag is going to be like $900, and I want to know if the repair is like $100.
Oh, is anybody? There's not a site called Tumi repair. You're asking.
Use Tumi has they. You can send it to Tumi and they'll do it. I want to know if anyone's done it. If it's going to cost me $400, okay. I'll just buy a new one. You know, so if
Yelp lines are open.
Yeah.
At 312-981-7200.
Tumi repair service. I would like to know.
Are you bitter that you're back?
You know what? It was such an amazing trip. And then we came home this weekend and played golf. We played with some friends at North Shore yesterday. We have very nice friends.
I like how you describe an amazing trip. I made my own sink.
I didn't have to talk to anybody.
I put a towel
on a chair. Oh, and the chips in the room, they put these potato chips in the, what do you call it? The
mini bar.
Mini bar. And they were the best potato chips I've ever eaten. So every night I'd come back to the room after dinner and eat these chips in bed. That's my big indulgence.
Hey, it's your vacation. You should eat chips in bed.
You know, everything you've described, you don't have to fly to Cancun for.
I know.
Where else could she buy chiclets on the beach, though?
Did you sign up for a timeshare at the airport?
No.
Did you get your hair braided by someone on the beach?
I did not.
Did Pat get his hair braided?
Yeah. Pat did.
All right, well, we're glad you're back. And the big stories, or big story, no, the actual news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood.
813, a lot of bad feelings, a lot of rancor, and I don't even know what that means, at Channel 9 this morning because Tomasulo and Potash are walking around in their hot 50 smirks on their face.
Yeah.
Pat Tomasulo actually beat Larry, is it still Potash? Larry Potash in the ranking amongst the top 50 hottest male anchors in news.
In the world.
In the world.
In the world, Larry was like number 50, no, like 47.
Yeah, Pat was 38 or 9.
Something.
I mean, I know Conrad's going to be bitter about this when we talk to him next hour in the CLTV hour. Are you bitter?
I am. I'm not really a news anchor, but.
Well, neither is Tomasulo.
I'm just bitter that of these, you know, 50 pretty boys, not one of them without hair.
Right.
Baldies. You know, need not apply.
I thought I saw one bald dude in there. No?
Follically challenged?
You know what it is?
Let's just say it's bald.
They're anti-baldites.
They're anti-baldies.
Yeah. Hashtag no baldies.
Yeah.
Hashtag no baldies.
Yeah. And so has Potash been cocky? Cockier than normal?
Hard to tell. Yeah, both of them walking around. It's like they're calling each other, hey, 38, what's up, 24?
And has Robin found a way to make it about her?
Whatever. Of course. It's a survey about, you know, male TV anchors, and Robin somehow thinks she's supposed to be on that list.
Well, she could at least be asked, she or Aaron could be asked about what they thought.
Right.
Now, there's some dude from NBC I'd never heard of. I don't even think he works at Channel 5, who was on the list as well.
From Channel 5 in Chicago?
Yeah.
Do you know who it was?
No, it was like top 10. Maybe it was L.A. or New York. I thought it was Chicago.
Oh, the other thing that I noticed when I was looking at this list yesterday, these are television news anchors, a remarkable number of them, their photographs, shirtless.
Yes. Yes. Well, let's be honest. That's the way most people want to have their news done now.
Right.
Shirtless.
You can see why people hate the news media.
Right. Well, you've got a crush on that guy from ABC. Who's the ABC anchor?
I don't have a crush on him.
Oh,
I just
you
think
totally
he's
do.
David Muir.
Yeah, you'd like him shirtless?
No, I don't want him shirtless. If he wants to be shirtless, I don't care.
Do
but
you just like that tuft of hair that he has?
He's a little
It's all about the hair.
You know, he's a little skinny. He's a little bit. He could snap him in half like a twig.
I know. He looks Jake? Good. He's got great hair. And he never makes a mistake. He's so good.
Back to NBC anchor that made it in the top 10.
Did he make it?
He did. Alex Maragos. He's a local guy. He's actually a native of Chicago.
You know him.
No, I don't. What is he?
Yeah, whatever.
He's a general assignment reporter, and he's the morning show anchor now.
Well, that's, I mean, you know, what kind of ratings could that have?
Well, Stevie returned home to Chicago after spending 2 years as a morning anchor and reporter in WLIFI-TV in West Lafayette, Indiana.
Oh. What do we know about him, Dean?
Great smile, good hair.
Not familiar with the man myself.
No, I don't know him.
You know him, he's got the little dimples.
No, I don't know him. I really, I'm going to be honest with you.
And a
you
full
can
head
ask
of hair.
Me over and over again, but I really don't know
full him. Head of hair. Full head of hair? Does he have a full head of hair?
He does, Dean.
Yeah, of course.
So wait a minute. A news
dimples?
Anchor, a news
does he
anchor that's
dimpled and like a...
Oh, yeah. Anti-baldites.
Yeah.
A news anchor that's handsome and has a full head of hair. Never would have never would have guessed that.
Yeah. Pat Boyle has still got to explain the fact that...
Big toothy smile. Whatever.
You didn't hear about this, Dean, but Pat Boyle and Sandberg just got back from their Mexican vacation. And Pat Boyle's got to go to Comcast Sportsnet tonight and explain the cornrows. Yeah. See, so got completely... What's that called? The braiding? Braiding of the hair?
I don't know.
And the little plastic tips on the end of it?
Yeah, where they do it on the beach.
Lifesavers. They
where
put lifesavers.
Where they're selling
chiclets. Lifesavers.
Cornrows, yeah.
You get hungry, you can just pop one in your mouth.
All right, coming up, Lisa Marie Presley's kids are in the news.
Not a good story.
Who's the father in that scenario?
A guy I've never heard of, but she's been I'd forgotten that she was married to Michael Jackson and Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, not at the same time.
No.
Yeah.
No, but neither one for very long.
Ted Nugent's getting into politics. That's good news.
What? What did you say? Don't say that while I'm drinking coffee.
Donald Glover gets a new role, which is I'd actually be looking forward to see. The Johnny Carson exhibit, which Dean has never mentioned, is about to close. Mm-mm. And Dean's got a movie challenge for us. And Madonna's newly adopted daughters are already being forced to perform like monkeys.
No, that's not right.
Oh, they're not. Okay.
They're cute. It's cute. They're singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Oh,
it's,
that's nice.
It's adorable.
Yeah. And then they drop right into Vogue where they have to do the hand things. And...
Right. Betty Davis, Anne Monroe, Dietrich, and DiMaggio.
How old are these little squirts?
4.5.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't be doing like a virgin. That'd be
4.5. Papa don't preach.
Yeah, Papa don't
not good.
Preach. Yeah.
The, yeah, they're 4.5-year-old orphaned sisters.
You ever seen Madonna in concert?
I have.
Yeah, I've seen her a few times. I saw her in L.A. at the Staples Center. You know who's sitting behind me? Tom Cruise.
Wow.
Really?
Behind me.
Is this... Oh, you have better seats than he
did? Yeah.
Is this the Nicole Kidman era?
No, it was...
Katie Holmes?
Nope, keep trying.
Mimi Rogers?
Nope.
I got nothing. Brooke Shields?
No, the Hispanic actress.
Penelope Cruz.
Penelope Cruz.
Did he hate Brooke Shields?
Who does he even date now? Tom Cruise. Haven't heard anything about him.
He's taking time for himself.
Yeah.
Did you become a Scientologist at that show?
I was, absolutely, because he was sitting behind me. He kept tapping me on the shoulder. Go, join up. Come on, join up. I dare you. And I said, Tom, leave me alone. And then Madonna said, I got nothing.
I want you to, tell us more about that story.
No, it's the whole thing. It's very painful.
No, I want to hear more.
It's very painful for me, obviously.
Don't stop. Steve, don't stop.
It
tell
really
us
is.
More.
Let me tell you something. It's not like it's Monday. That was a good story.
News at 10.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Dean, coming soon, the Stevie Awards are back, and I have a feeling you're going to be nominated.
It's my favorite award show of the year.
Yeah, it's a big night. Well, actually, it starts at 6 a.m. It's a big morning in show business.
Night for us, because we stay out all night.
As a matter of fact, they call it show business's biggest morning.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so...
when will that be?
It's coming soon.
Oh, we haven't decided yet.
Meeting at 10. Yeah, we'll figure it out. What's this Lisa Marie Presley story?
This is a weird and sad story. She's got grown children, but she also has little twin 8-year-olds who were put into protective custody yesterday. It's really kind of unclear if they were living with the father, if they were visiting the father, what the story is. But Lisa Marie discovered inappropriate pictures of children in the home of her ex-husband, who she filed for divorce from last June after 10 years of marriage. The guy's name is Michael Lockwoods. He is now facing allegations of sexual abuse and neglect. He's denying all of the charges. But so the kids now are living in foster care. Why they're not back with Lisa Marie, we don't understand. It hasn't been made clear in all the papers that have been filed what they were doing with the father, whether they were living with the father or just visiting him. That all that stuff is not clear. But this whole thing is a mess. And there are several reports out this morning that Lisa Marie is fresh out of rehab, millions of dollars in debt, that she herself is living with one of her adult children. So
how could she be in debt?
She gets $100,000 a month inheritance.
Well, who can live on that, right?
From, you know, from the Elvis Presley estate, she gets is part owner or trustee or whatever the legal term is. From all things Elvis,
right.
at Graceland,
the money's got to be coming in by the truckload,
et cetera. But I know that she had some bad dealings with some past managers. I don't know what the result of all that was, but she's apparently in bad financial straits. Certainly, hopefully doing better, being out of rehab. But you know, these poor little kids.
Yeah, no kidding. 8-year-olds,
little 8-year-old twins are caught in the middle of this. So that's hopefully that gets straightened out.
Let's go to the news of the sane. What's Ted Nugent up to?
the Motor City Madman.
Yeah, that'd be the guy.
I underscore the word mad. Is thinking about running for the United States Senate.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
like the people of Michigan haven't been through enough.
A profanity-filled Facebook post. He said that he will run for Senate if the politicians in office don't improve things pronto. Which sounds like a threat to me.
Does sound like a threat.
This is the man who famously once called Barack Obama a subhuman mongrel.
Yeah.
And also Kid Rock is his name has been floated as a possible candidate.
How great would a debate be with those two, Kid Rock and Ted Nugent, on the issues?
Right, in the Michigan primary. It could happen. It could happen. I mean, there was a time, kids in America, there was a time when we might laugh at a story like this. This could happen.
Oh, absolutely.
This could really happen.
No doubt. New Lion King coming up. Is this on stage or film?
This is going to be on film, a live adaption. The way that, actually, Jon Favreau is going to be directing this. You may remember last year he did a live adaptation of The Jungle Book, which was amazing. Now he has signed on Donald Glover from the TV series Atlanta and lots of other TV
shows.
He's
great.
But just won a boatload of awards for Atlanta. Really good. He's going to play Simba in the Lion King. And they just announced that James Earl Jones, 86 years old, who originated the voice of Mufasa in the animated Lion King, is going to be returning to that role again as Mufasa.
This is John DeCoss singing this. In his Lion King underpants.
When he dresses up and holds you up on the mountaintop. That's one of my favorite things.
That's why his back went out. The Johnny Carson exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications is going away.
You mean to tell me that there is a Johnny Carson exhibit?
I wish you had plugged it.
At the Museum of Broadcast Communication? I should have said something about
that. Yeah, you really should
have. More than the 12,000 times that I did. It's going to be closing on Friday, and they're making this deal. If you go there and mention WGN, you will get 50% off of admission to see the exhibit. And there, if you're a Carson fan, there's some really cool artifacts, things, you know, that belong to Johnny that you can see up close and personal.
And finally, your movie challenge. Well, a couple things left here, but your movie challenge leading up to the Oscars. This is an annual event.
This is an annual event where if you pick the most winners in the Academy Awards next Sunday, you could win a trip for two anywhere Southwest Airlines flies.
Oh, that's great.
It's not even like you don't have to beat my picks or anything like that. Just whoever, whatever listener gets the most wins, will win the prize. And if you go to WGNTV.com/contest, you can enter that, hopefully win the contest.
Do you normally beat the viewers? And then call them up individually to mock them?
I do. I call them up and say, you only got 84%?
Right.
What?
Right. Is this a tougher year to pick than years past?
I think it is because the momentum has shifted a couple of times. The politics of this whole thing has so much to do with, you know, what winds up winning. If you would have asked me a month ago, I would have said, hands down, no way La La Land can't win Best Picture of the Year.
But now?
I think the momentum has shifted a little bit now. I'm not really 100% sure, but I think Hidden Figures has a really good chance of winning Best Picture of the Year. And I think
it's a really good movie.
The timing, the hype machine on La La Land may have hurt it. It's a really good movie, number one, but it's also uplifting. It's positive. And seriously, I think in these times of all the political arguments and so much arguing and, rancor that's going on, people just want something uplifting and
I totally agree.
Positive.
Now, this movie that's being shot about the Swedish terrorist attack, is that out yet?
They're still working on that. Okay. They're still working on that. They're trying to get the Swedish baker from the Muppet movie to star that. He's different, Stevie.
They're having trouble finding the historian.
My friend Brad Most, Dr. Kevin Most's brother, who's a very creative guy, big deal in the advertising business. He tweets out last night, it's worse than we thought. And it's a picture of the Swedish baker beating a chicken. Or is it Swedish chef, right? Chef, baker?
Swedish chef, yeah.
All right, so you got Madonna's kids singing?
Yeah, so they talking about little twins. These are 4.5-year-old sisters who were orphaned in the country of Malawi. This is where Madonna has adopted 4 of her 6 children. She just adopted them earlier this month, and they're getting settled into her home. And apparently they've got the music in them, just like Madonna is. Here they are with Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Be great if we could just listen to that all day, right?
Listen, little kids singing makes me happy. Now, are there?
It goes on for like 2 minutes. Oh, wait! Don't interrupt them.
Are there background dancers?
There are not. They're so cute in this video. They're in like matching pajamas.
Oh, of course they are.
How many costume changes, Dean?
Right. A video was shot in an old hotel with weird rooms you'd walk into.
Oh, it ended.
It's over.
Oh,
you both are mean. I like little kids.
Right, Dean.
That's Dean. Thank you for the work you're doing. And try not to be too bitter about the bald prejudice that you and I suffer on a day-to-day basis.
Whatever.
Whatevs.
Sorry. I forgot we're Valley Girls.
Hey, when you guys are competing with guys named Sterling and Rod, you gotta be careful.
Yeah, no doubt.
Rod.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that sentence. 8:31, let's come back, get your big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Perhaps no nation on earth is more committed to accepting foreign migrants and refugees than Sweden. 2016 alone, the country accepted more than 160,000 asylum seekers, despite having a population of less than 10 million people. Only 500 of these migrants were able to get jobs in Sweden. But if these arrivals aren't able to work, they're at least able to commit crimes.
You look at what's happening in Germany. You look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Sweden. Who would believe this? Sweden. They took in large numbers. They're having problems like they never thought possible. You look at what's happening in Brussels. You look at what's happening all over the world. Take a look at Nice. Take a look at Paris.
And once again, if you are going to be throwing around this fake news BS, you better be factual. And as far as we know, Sweden's still okay on Monday morning. Ryan Nobles, our friend from CNN, joins us. Ryan, it looked like, back in the day, Ryan would have a pretty sweet gig on CNN covering, cat races on the weekend and going out and covering stuff. Now, you're the busiest guy at CNN, man. The weekends are when everything goes nuts.
Oh, my goodness. I was thinking, we just had a baby at our house, and he's up at all hours of the day. And it's actually worked out really well for my career because so many things are happening in the middle of the night that I can stay on top of them.
Sure.
I just need to be awake at all times to keep up with this administration right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, just 24 hours. 24 hours, no big deal.
Yep.
all right, so let's go through the facts because you actually deal in facts, whether the White House wants to deal with that or not. There was no terrorist attack in Sweden.
No, no, there was definitely not a terrorist attack in Sweden. And I mean, there's no other way to put that. And essentially, the best we can ascertain from what the president said at this rally over the weekend was that he saw a segment on Fox News Channel, the segment that you played leading into me, that kind of talked about maybe a theoretical problem that Sweden is having with the migrants that are coming in. You know, and he then extrapolated that out and then said in this speech on Saturday night that they had dealt with a terrorist attack the night before. I mean, you just played the piece.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to spin it that, no, you know, overall Sweden's having all these problems. Now the Swedish embassy is responding. And then he just tweeted a few minutes ago that, you know, if you don't recognize the fact that there's a major problem in Sweden, you're essentially burying your head in the sand. It makes absolutely no sense. There isn't a huge problem in Sweden, and he just made it up. He accuses those of us in the media of making things up all the time, and this is a definitive example of him making something up.
Yeah, and the what you've done now is you've taken an ally that's just, here's Sweden. Hey, we didn't ask to be a part of this. We're just minding our own business over here. And regardless of what Fox News said Friday night, every statistical comparison and comparative analysis you can find of the crime rate in Sweden is that it is largely the same as it's been for years. There's been no significant spike related to the unemployment level of the refugees that have come there.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is visiting us in D.C. this weekend. And he actually was on a work trip to Sweden not too long ago. And we were talking about it this morning. He said, Sweden's literally one of the friendliest countries on earth. And right. Here we are now in a Twitter war with them, which is exactly what's happening now. The Swedish embassy is retweeting the president of the United States and pushing back on his claims. But you have to wonder, Steve, if this is another example of the president distracting from the bigger issue of the day here. And, you know, CNN reported yesterday, Manu Raju, our senior congressional reporter, reporting that the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is run by Republicans, has now asked members of the Trump administration to preserve any records that they have related to Russia, which shows that the Senate Intelligence Committee is ready for a full bipartisan investigation into Russia's role in the presidential election. And that's something that Donald Trump does not want to talk about. So that's probably why we're talking about Sweden this morning.
It could be that, and I don't doubt that it could be that. But I also, I really believe this, because if you go back to the start of when he first came down the escalator in New York and made that speech and all those months, what's the one thing we know over and over again? I don't apologize. I don't apologize. Yeah. I don't apologize.
Right.
I don't take anything back. I'm never wrong. So even in this case with the Sweden thing, of course, even at the expense of embarrassing the Swedish government and having them have to do work they shouldn't have to do to backtrack and explain what the hell the president of the United States is talking about, this to me is also quite possibly about Donald Trump's psychological damage and how he can't say he's wrong about anything.
No, I think you're right about that, Steve. Sometimes I think we overanalyze these things. Perhaps there isn't really a diabolical plot at hand here where he is trying to, you know, kind of bob and weave around the big issues of the day. I think maybe he just said something he shouldn't have, and now he just continues to dig himself a bigger hole, which I think is really true. But I do think there's a question that has to be asked here about where he's getting his information, right? So we know that he consumes cable news in mass quantities, and he saw this report on Fox. Don't you think that responsibly, the president of the United States, who has more access to information related to things in the world than any other human being, would have maybe gone and asked somebody about this before he then went and gave a speech based solely off of this, you know, somewhat questionable Fox News report? And it doesn't appear that he seemed to do that. He seems to be getting most of his information from watching us on cable news.
No, but that's the thing that's astounding to me about all of this. He gets up in the morning and you're the president of the United States with that access that Ryan Noble's just described, why wouldn't you say, hey, how about that thing in Sweden last night? I need a briefing on that. Mm-hmm. And you don't say anything about it all day? You don't talk about it all day, and then you bring it up in the speech? How does that make sense?
Ryan, there's no doubt there's a diversion tactic here going on, but what about overseas repercussions? I mean, do we fear that this is going to be kind of an isolationist policy? We saw it with Australia insulting the prime minister, now with Sweden, from legit residents from the seven countries on that initial travel ban. Do you think there will be serious overseas repercussions because of what seems to be a dangerous precedent that he's setting?
Well, I wonder how foreign leaders are really treating this administration. And you saw the vice president was in Munich this weekend. The Department of Homeland Security secretary was also in Munich. General Mattis, the defense secretary, is in Iraq this morning. He was in the Middle East throughout the weekend. And it's almost like they're going over there to say, okay, listen, this is how the administration's really going to handle itself. Pay no attention to the guy tweeting, because this is how we're going to handle it.
They're like damage control. You know,
yeah, I mean, because, you know, I think General Mattis was the one who was asked specifically about the press. You know, do you view the press as the enemy of the people, as Donald Trump described it in a tweet? And General Mattis is like, well, I don't. I mean, I can't speak for anybody else, but I don't view it like that.
Well, there was another great moment with Mattis this weekend where he almost went full facepalm, where he showed up in Iraq as a surprise visit, and somebody in the media brought up taking Iraq's oil, which is a war crime.
Right. Another good example.
Yeah. And Mattis had this look on his face where it was like, ugh. And he goes, no, we're not taking the oil.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder if, like, these cabinet officials, and, you know, you, for the most part, you know, the people that are in place in Trump's cabinet are well-respected people. I wonder if they're kind of going over and doing a degree of damage control and saying, because there are numerous examples of his cabinet officials saying things that are diametrically opposite of what he has said in public statements. You know, Nikki Haley, the former South Carolina governor, who's now at the United Nations, speaking to the Security Council, basically slapping Russia for some of the interventions that they've had in Eastern Europe,
right,
and warning that the U.S. is going to take a hard line. Trump has never said anything like that. So, yeah, I wonder, like, Angela Merkel is an example in Germany. Are they kind of all getting together and saying, okay, listen, we need to kind of stay connected to these cabinet officials. And, you know, he's certainly the guy in charge, and we've got to be wary of that. But let's at least work with these cabinet heads and see how this all plays out before we make any rash decisions about our interaction with the United States.
It's Ryan Nobles at CNN. Follow him on social media. Where?
Ryan Nobles with one N.
Enjoy that baby. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See you later.
See you, Ryan.
Good guy. But I swear, you turn on CNN any point on the weekends, it's Ryan going, I'm tired. What did he say now?
Right. I know it was the Saturday Night Live sketch, but where was it Vanessa Bayer who said, can we just turn on CNN one day? Just
right.
One
just
day.
Just one time without an alert. When Hawks win, the replay is extravagant. When the Hawks lose, we get it over quickly. Big win last night. Big replay right now. Brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Electrical, and Plumbing. Here we go.
Chicago!
The Chicago Blackhawks road win streak is at 5 games, and they want to go to 6 tonight when they battle the Sabres in Buffalo, a place where they haven't lost to the team from Patrick Kane's hometown in 7 seasons. Hartman racing over to the right wing circle, pulls the trigger, shoots, he scores! Ryan Hartman with a top shelf goal that beat Leonard over the shoulder. And with 6:26 left in period number one here in Buffalo, the Hawks lead 1-0. Ristolainen kept the puck in the Hawks zone. Right point. Spins it down behind the net. Eichel put it in front. They score. Evander Kane was heading to the Hawk net, and I believe he knocked that out of midair and in behind Darling. With 5 seconds left in the period, the Sabres have tied it at one.
Oh, that's a tough one to take for the Hawks.
Hossa took it back now along the right wing half-board. Enters the right circle. Fires a shot. He scores! Oh, did Marian Hossa pick out the top corner? Here's Panic with the shot. They score! And the rebound chance for Taves, and he buries it. Taves was in front of Robin Leonard. As Panic shot the puck from the left circle, Leonard made the save, but the puck laid at his feet, and Taves flipped it behind him with a backhand. It's 3-1 Hawks. From O'Reilly to Patrick Kane on the slot, put it in front, they score! A nice redirect there by Anisimov, standing beside Leonard. He just ricocheted that puck up into the top shelf, and the Hawks now lead 4-1. Wide open, Patrick Kane, right circle, moves in front, backhand, he scores! The magic hands of Patrick Kane! He dekes Leonard down and out, went from forehand to backhand, and slid it in behind him. It's 5-1 Hawks. They're having some fun now. The applause you hear in the background are from the thousands of Hawks fans that have come here to the KeyBank Center, and they enjoyed the Blackhawks' 5-1 victory over the Buffalo Sabres here tonight. This is victory number 399 in the head coaching career of Joel Quenneville with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Four Seasons Heating, Air, Conditioning, and Plumbing sponsors your Hawks Express. Coming up on 9 o'clock, Paul Conrad on the fact that his co-anchors, one in sports, one in news, have been named sexier than him.
Are you going to bring that up?
In BuzzFeed. Oh, absolutely.
It might hurt his feelings.
Well, whatever. David Hochberg as well coming up. We'll talk a little mortgage and refi, and in this case, maybe the truth about closing costs. Huh? What do you think of that? What do you think of that?
I don't like closing.
What do you
costs.
Think of that?
I don't want to pay him.
All right, news coming up on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Trying to fit a square foot inside a round shoe? Hi, this is Tim Deck from New Balance Chicago. If your feet feel pinched, squeezed, or ache all over, you're part of the 72% of Americans who are wearing the wrong shoes. Your feet have a specific size, shape, and width, and your feet strike the ground in a way that's unique to you. At New Balance Chicago, our fit experts measure your feet, then record and analyze how you stand, walk, or run. They then recommend the perfect shoe for you, giving you the control, stability, and comfort only New Balance can provide. New Balance is for everyone, not just athletes. With more than 200 cutting-edge models to choose from, New Balance Chicago carries all sizes and widths. You'll walk out with the best-fitting shoes and the best-feeling feet you've ever experienced. Visit New Balance Chicago today with 4 convenient locations in Lincoln Park, Oak Brook Terrace, Orland Park, and Schaumburg. New Balance Chicago. When your feet feel good, your whole body feels good.
Goods Furniture is an escape. A very leisurely, relaxing kind of day. You can browse furniture wherever you go in the 250,000 square foot store and have fun while doing it. Whether you're buying your first home, expanding your family, or just want something new, Goods has something for everyone. And the furniture at Goods is on sale every day, so you can always be sure you're getting the best value. No hype, no haggling, just honest-to-goodness value day in and day out. Goods Furniture in Kewaunee, Illinois.
Time for the news on Chicago's very own 720 WD. Oh, not quite yet. A couple of minutes early.
Yep. Yeah, what are you doing? We have a.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready. I'll take it.
How would we? How it would never be 2 minutes early.
Uh oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
Well, maybe not.
And I'm too sexy for Milan. Milan, New York, and Japan.
How's Pat Tomasulo an anchor? I mean, that's a question you really have to ask. Paul Conrad standing by at Channel 9. We're live on SEAL TV. Thanks for watching. And Paul, come here. Let's give you a hug.
Thank you.
You all right?
Yeah, I feel great.
Aren't you a little bitter?
You know what? Everyone can make up their own fantasy lists.
Right.
Right. If you have a good publicist and you're willing to pay a lot of money.
Right. As Potash. Potash. Potash is loaded. Along with the money Potash has been making from Channel 9 all these years, he's been stealing from the company.
He has.
And it's a combination of embezzling And he also has some sort of vending machine racket going.
Right, where he's selling drugs.
Yes.
He's selling heroin to high school kids.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
So anyway, the reason I'm asking Paul if he's bitter, yesterday on BuzzFeed, did you know BuzzFeed does lists?
I didn't. I was not aware that that was what they were into.
Lists and quizzes, apparently.
Huh.
But one of these lists is 50 hottest male TV anchors in the country.
Yeah.
And Larry and Pat Tomasulo made the list.
Yeah.
And well, some guy that allegedly works at Channel 5. I find you sexier than both of them.
Right, I do too. And, you know, there's been quite a bit of outrage. But, you know, a lot of these websites have agendas. And right. They're not worried about really telling the truth. And they got people in their pockets who they have to make happy.
Well, this is the same website that said there was a terrorist attack in Sweden Friday night.
Right.
So, you know, there's clearly a credibility issue here.
So I think that, you know, here's the other reality. In my heart...
Yeah,
I know that I'm in the top 10
right.
of all-time sexy people, not even just news people. Like
right.
people
you made
who've never been seen on TV.
You made number 3 on my list, Paul.
Thank you very much.
That's
three behind who?
You know what? I'm going to lower my shirt down a little bit. Well, I'm going to undo one button.
Sure.
And it's Cochran and Sapelsa. I put Sapelsa in
there.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. Nicely done by you.
Hey,
if you guys are watching CLTV now, you're getting a little bit of the smoke show.
Let me give you one more. Can I give you one
yeah,
more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Too much?
No. It's never too much, according to Andrea.
Because Robin always says this is too much.
It's getting hot in here, as Nelly would say.
Hey, look at that.
But you got...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe button a couple up.
No, I'm going to leave it right there.
Are you guys getting warm? And...
So,
it's nice.
So here's
one
the thing.
More.
Okay. I might not be able. I better go
there
home.
Go.
Seriously, it's
oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh. All right. And this is as low as I've ever had it go.
You know who I feel for? The new GM, Paul Rennie. Sitting at his office going, what the hell are they doing?
Dude, why are they putting this on TV? It looks freaking good.
I knew it was a mistake to put Cochran Show on TV, but now Conrad's stripping.
Right. Larry Word is saying this is the best idea.
Remember, looking good, Mr. Conrad. Wah, wah, wah.
We're going to have to go ahead and look at the ratings and see if they just spiked or went in the opposite direction.
Right.
Listen, we'll show you who's in the top 50 list on that stupid BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
The only thing going down is another button on Paul's shirt.
All right, I'm leaving it there.
All right, so there's no real rift in the love that you have for your fellow staff members?
No, I'm going to let it slide because here's the thing. When you're those two guys, you need what I'd like to call a little hope for the hopeless, right?
Right.
And here's the other thing. Neither of those guys invited to Tom Skilling's 65th birthday bash last night like I was.
Did you go?
I did. And man, what a fandugal of a time that was.
I suppose you had to go, right?
No, I didn't have to.
Well, I mean, it's Tom, and you're in the weather department.
Yeah. Well, I didn't go out of obligation.
So you had to go?
I had to go. Yes. I went because it was going to be a nice way to honor Tom.
You ought to be honored.
He should be honored, even though it's a birthday, because, frankly, everybody has a birthday.
Pretty much every year.
Every year.
So right. Where did you have the party?
It was at Devon Seafood or something. I think it was Devon Seafood.
Okay. And well, you live in a city. It's no big deal to jump over there.
No, yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
And it was delightful and a nice time.
So who showed up for this thing?
All right, let me run through the list.
Yeah. Aaron and
Demetrius.
And Demetrius were there. The Ivories, as we call them.
Aaron and Demetrius. Lourdes Duarte.
Okay, Lourdes is there.
The general manager, Paul Rennie, and Larry Wirt. The president of Tribune Broadcasting.
Hey, boy, it's hard to get Larry to go out at night.
It is,
I'm surprised he showed up.
And then I think Tom's family, like his brother from Istanbul flew in. His sister from Minneapolis came in.
Wow.
Let's see. There were some other people there. Me, I was there. There was like 80 people.
Any of the other weather people there?
Yeah. Duffy was there. Mike Hamernick. Mike Jansen.
Okay.
Jim Ramsey was not there, and Tim McGill was not there, but it's a Sunday night.
Is anybody from the other television stations in town show up and try to crash it?
No, and they did ask me to take a 20-minute stretch to work the front door to make sure that there was no people.
Well, that's why I didn't get in. Because I showed up. Right. I said, well, they must have meant to invite me.
And I said, hey, yeah, it's right across the street. We're going to be there in 10 minutes.
He actually sent me to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
And I stayed to like 11.
Right.
And nobody ever showed up.
Well, it's a lot more fun at Chuck E. Cheese after night.
So
9, 10 o'clock or so. It's really fun there.
Well, I'm glad he had a good birthday.
It was really
fun. Did he feel loved? He's loved. He's Tom Skinner.
I think that's the thing. I wanted him to make sure he understood how loved he was.
Yeah.
Duffy was there also. And Duffy, I forgot. And then Bob Feeder. You know, Robert Feeder.
Sure.
He was there. Joe Wiseman, his accountant, was there. All kinds of Sean Lewis. All kinds of wonderful people.
And I understand, you know, those type of parties. Remember we talked about this before at birthday parties where kids get a goodie bag for coming to the party?
Yeah.
Everybody got a bag with a barometer and $100,000 in cash.
Yep.
So, just for coming to the party.
It was a blast.
Because Tom's loaded.
He's such a nice man.
He's the best, isn't he?
It was a surprise to him also. Did I say that?
Oh, he didn't know that there was going to be a big shindig?
Was coming, no.
He thought it was just going to be like a little dinner, right?
Was he disappointed that I wasn't there?
That was the thing. He was weeping halfway through the dinner.
And he said, what's wrong?
I said, Tom, what's the matter? And he said, well, I had hoped just that one person would show up. And his name, I'm not going to say it, but it rhymes with Yves Ockren.
Yes, right.
And so I held him. I pulled him in close.
Really rocked him a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And
I massaged
his neck, and I just said, it'll be all right. He's at the Chuck E. Cheese across the street.
Right, which is where
I'll
sent him.
Here in just a little bit. So,
seem very mentally healthy this morning.
I feel like the wheels are on the bus right now, and they're going round and around.
Right. You're not disappointed by the Pat Tomasulo, Larry Potashkin.
Everyone gets to define their version of sexy, you know?
Right.
And I've got a lot of it, so I'm not worried about it.
Right. If you know you're sexy, you don't have to talk about it.
I didn't have any. I'd be angry. But I've got so much, I can give it to other people. Let me give you one more button here. Just one more.
Yeah, Dean Richards. Yeah. Dean Richards.
Jordan Steele and Rod Carter have nothing on you.
Yeah. Dean Richards mentioned this morning, however, and you're certainly in this club, that we believe there was a bit of an anti-baldite thing going on there because there wasn't a lot of bald guys.
There were not a lot of bald guys. Yeah. And it's been a problem. And it's one of these things that happens in our country that happens every day.
Right.
And nobody's talking about it because there's some shame. There's a history of shame.
You got all that terrorism in Sweden that's taken up a lot of time.
Terrorism. You got all kinds of bigger issues. But listen, doesn't mean that we don't have feelings about it and that what we're feeling isn't valid. I want to make sure that's clear.
There was a bald guy on the list, Alex Beresford, but I can't quite, I'm not really paying attention to that. He's looking at his six-pack abs.
Yeah. Right. See, that's the problem. We're talking about kind of average husky bald guys.
Yeah, like in my case, I don't have a six-pack. I've got a 2-liter bottle.
Right.
Yeah.
Two.
So.
Which is more convenient and price is better also.
No doubt about it.
Better for the environment, probably.
All right, my friend.
All right, I got to zip back up a little bit here.
Yeah, put your clothes back on and get back to work.
Sit down next to Robin so she keeps her hands to herself for once.
That's Paul Conrad. All right, love you.
Big sexy man signing off.
Love you.
Adios.
Yeah, okay, bye.
Cheerios.
Bye-bye.
Oh, there he goes.
You hang up. I don't want to hang up. You hang up.
Milk and potatoes.
Oh, there he goes.
Wandering off down the hall. We'll take a break. Come back. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Producer Sandberg back from her vacation in Mexico with her husband, Pat. That's, of course, Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. And we ran out of time earlier. Was there any other Mexican details we didn't know?
Well, on the way to the airport, he gave me a hard time because as we were pulling out of our neighborhood, here we're leaving for a trip and it's very exciting. There was an APT truck at the end of our street, which every other day there's an APT truck in our neighborhood. And when we came around the back end of it, there was two brand new eggshell colored pedestal washer and dryer, shiny, sitting right behind the truck. My neighbors were getting new washer and dryer.
And you guys thought you'd steal them?
No, but I was like, oh my God, look at that. And he's like, we're going to Mexico. You're getting all excited about a washer and dryer that they were beautiful and the sun was shining. I do a lot of laundry, so I really like
And the eggshell coloring was great.
Oh, it was so pretty. And they were the pedestal ones that had the drawers underneath, so like you don't have to bend over.
You know what I used to do when I was a kid? I used to do my homework on top of the washer.
That's not normal.
Because
okay, that is weird.
Because here's why. There was a stool that was a perfect height, and I do the homework on top of the washer because it would drown out the noise from the rest of the house. A small house, and it was noisy.
That's still different, I think.
Hold on, you're judging me?
I know, sorry.
Miss, I go to Mexico and I'm excited about my my sink.
I thought you were going to say, can we stay and watch him install them?
Oh, I was like, I'm going to have to ask her how they look in the laundry room, though. I am going to. But let's see, is there anything to tell you about Mexico?
Are there these neighbors you like?
I do like them. I mean, I'm not super friendly.
So it wouldn't be weird. It wouldn't be weird if you suddenly went up, knocked on the door, and go, I'd like to go into your laundry room?
It would for sure be weird. So, but if you could just, when you come around that aft truck and you saw them shining in the sun, they were like really beautiful machines.
Sounds very exciting.
You could actually go to Apt and see a whole bunch more.
I could see a whole bunch, yeah. There's, I have two laundry rooms too, so I need to go to Apt and get two sets of washers and dryers.
Wait, two laundry rooms.
What do you mean you have two laundry rooms?
We have, so we live in a ranch house. And there's a full
basement.
With
the Cartwrights?
And there was a laundry room in the basement, but the person that lived there before struggled with the stairs or something, so they changed a fifth bedroom into a laundry room. So when we went and looked at this house, I was like, there are two laundry rooms. This is my house because I can do laundry.
Hold on a second. Why is that a good thing to have laundry rooms up or down?
There's never a piece of dirty laundry in my house.
But
ever.
Do you have two washers and dryers?
Oh, yeah. Upstairs?
What?
Yeah, in the laundry room upstairs, there's a stackable washer.
Where do you
and dryer.
Put the quarters? You put them in, like, is there a slider?
And then the basement, those are where the Cadillac washers are, where I can do, like, bigger things, like towels and blankets and that type of thing.
All right, I'll say.
Have you thought about taking in laundry from other people?
Have you thought about making one room an office?
Yeah.
I know. We do have an office,
okay.
too.
Yeah, but if you like to do laundry, you should start doing that. Do everyone else's.
I should clear. I don't really like doing the laundry. I don't like dirty clothes in the house, ever.
Yeah. Mary, what part of this do you not understand? There's four laundry machines in
right.
the house. It's just like everyone else's house.
So when we landed on Friday, we got home and we were getting pizza from Barnaby's. And I asked Pat, can you go grab it? Because I want to get... He goes, I know, start on the laundry. You know, it's like...
Hey, at least Pat never has to turn to her and say, woman, that laundry isn't going to wash itself.
Yeah. My wife's the same way. We get back from a trip, immediately she wants to
well, I think,
yeah,
stuff
I can
in
see
I think
that.
Most
yeah.
women
after
do
trip,
that. Yeah.
But what did you do at
as
the
opposed
hotel?
To most men who put the suitcase there
right.
and they go,
well,
I'm
going
to get to that eventually.
And then 3 days later go, I should really unpack the laundry.
If the laundry actually starts to crawl away, then it's definitely time to wash it.
Oh, yeah, no. I can't. You actually, Pat, at one point, he blamed me for his underwear that he claimed was kind of wearing out because I washed it so quickly. He was only wearing the pairs on top, like the first three pairs, because it got it. I'm like, that's not really a problem. Like,
I'm sure he's thrilled right now.
Yeah, he's
Mary, stop talking.
Is he
about
still wearing
skinny.
The tighty whities?
He wears, you know, he wears Tommy John's.
Oh, that's right. I saw him. I saw him at the show. All right. So, no, the Tommy John's are great. Listen, if you were a dude, you'd wear Tommy John's.
Wait, I'm sorry, you saw him at the show, and you guys just started talking about this?
No show.
But Mexico was amazing, and everyone should go to the Hyatt Ziva because it's a great resort.
And she gets nothing for that.
I don't.
A couple of follow-ups. Our friend Owen
Mann. They make really good drinks. Dave, you would love it. They make
okay, that's...
Yeah.
I forgot. The bartending, usually sometimes it's suspect, but like we like to get tequila with a splash of Cointreau and a few lime wedges, and they did it right every time.
Nice.
And
so,
a little scotch.
Dave, you can't leave now. Follow up, Owen Mahan. Owen Mahan is the little boy who was severely burned and went into foster care, and his foster mom adopted him. And we are pushing for people to write Owen letters as he goes through his various medical situations that he has to deal with. Owen loves to open mail. He has either had it completed or is in the process of having his legs amputated now because he has to undergo constant surgeries. So you can help in a number of ways. One is by going on to his GoFundMe page and making a donation because they are trying to offset some of the costs that this woman, who is a single mom, is dealing with all of Owen's surgeries and various things. She has other kids as well, and she hasn't asked for this. This was set up by somebody else for her. But Owen Mahan sounds like a phenomenal kid, and he just wants to be a kid. And you can help at the bare minimum just by writing him a note.
That's
saying,
all
you Owen, I heard about you. I'm proud of you.
Get a little card.
Yeah, so we have this up. Let's repost this so people can see it again. Owen Mahan, 302 Brixton Woods E Drive. Brixton, Brixton, Woods with an S, E Drive. Pittsboro, Indiana, Pittsboro. Indiana, and the zip code's 46167. Like his Facebook page, too. And you can also, as I said, go on his GoFundMe page. I made a donation. I hope you can as well, or you'll think about it. He has had 48 surgeries in his 9 years of life.
Poor guy.
And he'll have many more. One other follow-up. Last week, we found out that along with not having a balanced budget, that the legislators in Springfield are out of paper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that the vendor is no longer paying for paper. Or I should say the vendor's not getting paid, so they're not delivering paper.
Right.
So my suggestion is that you send paper to your legislator. Because, you know, you got to have enough paper where you can print this phony baloney budget that they're working on that we can finally, you know, get done. So I took the initiative to come up with the paper for Springfield campaign. What would it be? Paper for...
Paper for politicians.
Paper for politicians
like
is good.
The pop campaign.
I'm looking for something more insulting. Paper for politicians. But anyway, I don't have a problem with my reps. I just want my reps to do their job.
Yeah.
Representative Kifowit and Senator Holmes. I don't know if you can see these. We tried this the other day. I don't know which camera they're on. Is it that one?
Mm-hmm.
But it says, do your job, pass a budget. Do your job, pass a budget, Representative Kifowit, and I would encourage you to do the same. See, this is written in pen, so it's not really showing up with the lighting we have in here.
But you put in different colors, so that's kind of nice.
Right, so just write your rep's name on the top, your House rep and your Senate rep, and just write, do your job, pass a budget. You can write them any message you want, and then put Steve Cochran, or WGN on the bottom of it. Try not to make it insulting, threatening, or profane. Because you're just telling these people, do your job, pass a budget in whatever language you choose. And if they don't, you're not going to vote for them anymore.
I got the name for your campaign, the RIP campaign. Residents for Illinois Paper, which is RIP for obvious reasons.
And we're rest in peace and RIP.
And RIP.
Oh, that's fine.
You like that?
It's the RIP campaign.
The RIP
that's fine.
Campaign.
So send paper to your legislator. Say, I don't know who my legislator is. Just go online and Google it. Who's my Illinois state rep? And there's a million ways to figure it out. That mostly involve putting in your zip code. So we'll put the Owen Mahan stuff back up at Twitter and Facebook, and let's get paper for our politicians. Of course they're out of paper. It's 9:33. Big story next on 720 WGN. And David Hochberg will be here.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Credit card company's like, okay, you want to play with us? We'll play with you. Okay, the minimum payment now goes from 2% minimum payment to 4%.
Seems pretty upset.
Okay, so now you got a person that's barely hanging on. $20,000 to $30,000 with credit card debt at 2% is $400 to $600, right? It's manageable.
It's so angry.
Now you just, what do these morons do? They turn it into $800 to $1,200 a month. Who the hell can afford that?
Stop yelling at me.
So what do they have to do? They have to go out and take out another credit card to pay the credit cards off.
I promise you, I don't look for his fuse and light it. I really don't.
Take it easy, champ.
Maybe sit the next couple plays out. You know what I mean?
We get about 5 minutes into it, and usually it's a Will Ferrell moment there, too. Well, that escalated quickly. We call the EMTs in for David Hochberg. Happy President's Day.
Thank you. It's one of my favorite days.
I know it is.
Yeah.
A couple of the basics before we get into what I wanted to discuss, which is, and I brought this up the other day, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but you're nothing but honest.
Yeah, brutally.
Yeah. So when I hear people talking about closing costs, I don't trust your counterparts, your competitors, I guess is the better word for it in the business, but I trust you.
No, thank you. It means a lot.
So we'll talk about closing costs in a second. All right, new mortgage rates mean what?
New mortgage rates, the markets are closed today, so you're looking still in the low fours today on a 30-year fixed loan, mid threes on a 15-year fixed loan. We're still doing adjustable rate mortgages are really, really in vogue right now because of the rate increase. A lot of people only live in their house on average, first-time home buyers, 3 to 5 years, so a 7-year ARMs. 10-year ARMs are really, really attractive right now, and those are still in the low threes. You might be able to get an ARM at the right time on the right day that might start with a 2. So, you could still save money and keep the payment down by going into an adjustable rate mortgage.
A 2?
Yeah.
Should I refinance? No, I'm kidding. No.
You? No. Miss Meshuggie over there? No.
By the way, how much have I saved?
Actually, your loan papers look like Swiss cheese. Yeah. You've refinanced.
And it really helps when you're covering the Republican convention in Philadelphia, and I'm trying to refinance and get papers back and forth while she's on the floor covering.
But how great? Wait, no. How great are you, seriously? Because you were calling me, and I went, David, you have to get it done. Right. I can't. I'm not in a position.
I'm going to Philadelphia now. I'm like, all right.
I'm on the floor. Yeah, well, you were calling me from the floor of the convention.
It's a full service operation.
And he got it done. I said, I don't have time. He said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Boom. Done.
Well, he's got a great staff.
Yeah. Is there a limit to how many times you can refinance, though?
No, there's no limit.
How about for Andrea? Is there a limit on Andrea?
Yeah, she's exceeded the acceptable limits. Right. I think we got her in a 3.5% 30-year fixed loan. So we hit it right at the bottom. It was perfect timing, and you're done for a while, unless you plan on moving, and then we'll look at something if it makes sense.
WGNDavid.com, 312-751-1333. The Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs project you're involved in with our friend Mark Doyle and others is where?
And his wife, Kip.
Yeah, Kip's great.
Yeah. Way. Have you tried to figure that relationship out? I mean, if you look at Mark, you look at Kip, she's intelligent. She's unbelievably organized. Right. She's beautiful. Right. And then she's with Doyle.
What's she doing with Mark?
I'm like trying to figure that out.
Could be a charity project.
I think that's what it is.
Could be a 501(c) relationship.
I think that fits the description. So in all seriousness, the Illinois Department of Veterans gave us a call earlier at the end of last year, wanted to work with us about housing homeless veterans because they heard us on WGN a couple times talking about it. And Mark has, with Kip, has access to storage containers and taking storage containers and making houses down there.
Yeah,
and
now before you go any further, let's explain that because Doyle...
lived in a container.
He did, literally.
Yeah.
He is one of the most generous guys, period. And a few years ago, he said, what do you think about me going to Afghanistan? And I said, was this something I said? and he went and he lived in a storage container, as some military housing is on these outposts and bases in Afghanistan. They are roomy.
Yes.
They are convertible in a way that if you think modular homes.
It's what it is.
That's essentially what it is. Yeah.
These men and women are living in a facility built in 1930. That's a wonderful facility, but they have a 8-foot by 10-foot room. And then they come into a social hall. So they only have 80 square feet. And then there's a laundry room. What we're going to go to them with private money. Okay. Private sector money. And we're going to reach out if they allow us to do this. Go out to the private sector to raise funds to build very inexpensive but very, very compatible housing for these homeless veterans. And basically, a shipping container is about 40 to 45 feet long, about 10 to 12 feet high. So let's say it's 10 foot by 40 foot. You've got a 400 square foot, basically, studio apartment for these men and women. We're going to talk to the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs on Thursday. We have a meeting with them this Thursday about working with them in their location down in Manteno and basically setting up 20 to 40 temporary short-term housing for these men and women.
So we'll talk more about that.
Yeah,
about
I'm very proud of that.
Process that goes on. You told me about this idea a year ago.
And and finally, it's finally coming true.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
David Hochberg's here, 312-751-1333, WGNDavid.com. All right, so closing costs have become the hook for every mortgage company to try to get their phone to ring.
Sure, and it's easy because you say low closing costs, and everybody thinks you have low closing costs, but it's what the lender's definition of low closing cost actually is.
And the average person can't figure out if they're being taken to the cleaners or not.
No, they don't, because all they hear is, you know, most people believe what they hear.
Right. So the truth about closing costs is?
Truth about closing costs is that our closing costs are around $2,000. You in front of you have what's called a closing disclosure for a loan at one of my competitors that's closing this week from somebody that Pro Mortgage just hired last week that came from another mortgage company that advertises on this radio station.
So basically, you could have someone call you up and say, David, I'm hooked into this loan with this person, but I think I'm getting taken to the cleaners. Here's the paperwork. Can
and we'll
you tell me?
Yeah.
And you pop it into a template and you know right away?
I'll know within 30 seconds. I could tell you most of the times that we're lower to begin with right out of the box, just like your friend that was buying the home that – Or an Andrea's friend.
Say, yeah, you did that with a friend of mine who thought she was locked into a loan and called you.
Yeah, over $1,000 less in closing costs than the person buying the home. So,
and this is just a cash grab for most places?
Well, it's just, you know, some people have higher overheads than others. Let's just say that. Okay. And if people have higher overheads, guess who's paying for it?
Right.
It's being rolled into your loan amount. So my definition of low closing costs, now I have it in writing on a refinance as I have it on a purchase, is over $1,000 less than some of the other radio advertisers out there doing. So I'm offering a low closing cost challenge. If you think, if you have a loan estimate from another radio advertiser, you send it to me. And if I can't meet or beat it, most times I will beat it, I will make a donation to either Gilda's Club Chicago, Ignite the Fire, Ignite the Spirit Firefighter charity that I just went to the banquet a couple weeks ago. I'll either donate it to our friend over at Illinois Patriot Education Fund.
Mark Slavey for
veterans in
college educations.
I'll donate it to the Associated Firefighter of Illinois' Warrior Program, where we
all great charities.
Gave away that car, or a charity of your choice.
Okay.
And if we can't meet or beat it, most of the times we'll meet or beat it. So enough of this low closing costs. You know, what's your definition of low closing costs? Our definition of low closing costs is around $2,000, because that's what it costs. A gallon of gas up on the North Shore, where I just drove in from, is about $2.38 a gallon. Downtown in Chicago, it's about $2.95 a gallon, because you're paying 60 cents more a gallon of gas. Okay, my closing costs are around $2,000. Other lenders' closing costs are not. That's the truth.
But the standard across the business, there's nothing going on in the business that would mean Joe's Mortgage Hut down the street should be charging $5,000 for closing costs.
Well, if Joe's Mortgage Hut down the street's only closing 20 to 30 loans a month.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's nothing, not their business. There's nothing legitimately where their price would be that much higher.
Unless they're trying to make more money to cover their overhead of their business. Right.
Okay.
So
what do people do?
They just send it to me. They call me. They're like, we want to take the loan estimate challenge. Send me your loan estimate. It's 312-751-1333. We'll explain the loan estimate. We'll point out the differences in the origination fees and the processing fees. You have it in front of you. It says $3,135 in closing costs. You have it in front of you. Is that not what it says?
Yeah, of course it is.
Okay. Our closing costs, if we did...
Is my attorney here?
The same type of transaction... would be around $2,000. So right there, it's $1,100 higher on a refinance than our closing costs would have been if this couple would have come to us for a refinance. And Andrea's friend and your friend would have saved, well, actually did save $1,000, because they went back to the lender and said, hey, Hochberg could save me $1,000. Why are you charging me an extra $1,000? And lo and behold, guess what? $1,000 disappeared off their closing statement.
And these are all the mystical administration fees that you can't quantify because there's...
It's a processing
fee. Those aren't itemized. That's just what they say we're charging.
It's lumped in. It's lumped in as a processing fee or an admin fee.
All right, so get a hold of David Hochberg. Tell him, here's my loan. Am I being taken to the cleaners?
Right. Can you meet or beat it? And if not, I'll make a donation to my charity of my choice or a charity of your choice.
Right.
No strings attached.
Hochberg, calling him out, man. WGNDavid.com, 312-751-1333. Ask for any of his fine team and say, hey, I need your help.
That's right. Thank you.
All right. Good to see you.
And I'll see you Saturday night at that other charity event.
Yeah. Cal's Angels coming up later this week, an annual event that I always look forward to.